of James. Look in the book of James over toward the back part of your Bibles. James, and we're going to look at James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. And James is, you know, really a practical book as far as the wisdom that's in it and the scriptures that are there. James gives us some very practical things that he wants us to know and that the Lord wants us to know. And you just understand how that he is speaking to people. And he talks about working, doing something for God, being a workman for God. And, of course, one of the great things that James says is he says, you say you have faith. He said, well, you show me your faith. He said, but I'll show you my faith by my works. And a lot of times that's what we've got to do. Nobody else can see what you've got until they see that you're doing something for God. But I want to look in chapter number 4, and he's talking here about how that we ought to all get along and work and labor together for God. Look down in verse number 13, if you will. Verse number 13, and he goes towards the end of this chapter as we're reading it, and he says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the morning. Thank you for the songs and the fellowship and the worship. And I pray now, just add your blessings to everything that is said, everything that's done here today. Give some comfort and help to those that need it. Give a blessing to those that need it, and bring salvation to somebody that needs that here this morning. Speak to their heart. Show them their way, and show them that the only way out is through finding about Jesus Christ as Savior and Redeemer. We'll praise you for that now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Look back with me, if you will, at verse number 14. Now, James, as I say, he's been talking about, you know, getting along with each other and doing the things, and not for one group to think they're higher than another and somebody else to think they're lesser, and all these things. And he's directed some of that at the rich and the poor and whoever. What he's saying is, you know, you've got these kind of folks going to make up every congregation. You got folks that are going to be in the congregation that, for some reason, if they wanted to, and if they were of that sort, they could look down on somebody else and say, well, you know, I'm better off than they are, and I have more, and I'm richer, and I'm more, in society in a higher plane. And, you know, you've got that. And he says, but you ought not to do those things, brethren. He said, that's not right. He said, you shouldn't, speak evil of each other. You shouldn't judge one another. He's gone through a whole litany of these things. And then he comes down to this little section here where he talks about you and I all need to understand that all of us need the Lord. I don't care who you are and what you're doing. You need the Lord. And he says, look, you can say, well, today we're going to do this and tomorrow we're going to do that. He said, you ought not to say that. You ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we're going to do this and that and the other. And in other words, keep God in your plans. But I want you to notice one little phrase that he mentions there in verse number 14, what I want us to look at this morning. He said, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Well, ain't that the truth? You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But look at the next little phrase, the next question that he puts in this. He says, for what is your life? What is your life? And that's what I want us to look at here just for a few moments this morning. Just for a few minutes. Look at that thought, and let's think about what is your life? What is your life? I mean, sometimes I know somewhere in the dark nights or the slow times or the times when some things may happen, the times of death, the times of sickness, we do sit around and ponder that thought on what is my life? What is my life all about? I want to tell you, sometimes you get the chance, sit down and read the book of Job, and you'll understand a little bit of reflection on the things of life. As Job gets into the situation that he gets into, he really ponders that question of what has happened in my life, or where has my life been, and where is it going, and how's God working and all that. And then you can also pull out the book of Ecclesiastes, and you see how that the great King Solomon sat down and said so many times, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Everything that happens, he said, in my life, the good, the bad, every bit of the wealth and importance and people and everything that I've had in my life, he said, it's all vanity unless God is working in my life the way that he ought to. Amen? And so can I tell you, your life's about the same this morning. Your life. But can I tell you, hey, when you think about it, somebody say, well, what is my life? Well, let me just give you a few little things here that I run across and you and I ought to think about. First of all, I want you to know that this life that you're living is a time of preparation for another life. Amen. This life today is a time of preparation for another life. I mean, you've got a destination, amen? Somebody said, hey, preacher, what about after this life? I'm telling you, there's only two places to go. There is no place in between. There's no place you can go to get paid out of. There's no place you can go to get paid out of or prayed out of. Brother, you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. And that's the only choices you've got today. And I don't care whether you like them. I don't care whether you think that's the way it ought to be or you want another choice. There are no other choices. You realize today it's heaven or hell. Somebody said, well, preacher, you can look at it like it's smoking or non-smoking. Amen? And that's about the way that it is. Your life will wind you up somewhere. But I'm telling you, this life right now is a time of preparation. You got to be getting yourself ready for something. This is also, when you think about it, this time right here is a life. It's a life that is for living a godly and a holy life. Amen? I know what the Bible says about that, but you know, Paul said, if we had hope in this life only of Christ, we'd be of all men most miserable. If you lived a holy and a godly life down here and there was nothing after it. But I can say this, I think it'd still be a good life. I still think it'd be a good thing to live like that. But I'm telling you, I'm glad there's something for those that are saved beyond this life. Amen? There is another place that we are definitely assured of. Jesus told us in a great assurance that he said, where I go, he said, you're going also. Because I'm coming back to take you where I am. Amen? And Paul said in his writing, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 4, the very last verse number 18, he said, and there shall we ever be with the Lord. That's for those that are saved. Amen. But this life down here, God wants us to live a godly and a holy life. You know, we've just about forgot about holy living in our day and in our hour. We forgot about living holy and right before God. But can I tell you, God's still looking for some holy people. Amen? I mean, hey, I can just do anything, preacher. I'm all right. I come down and I shook the hand and I prayed the prayer and I'm ready. Hey, you better check up on that and make sure you are right with God. I'm not trying to make you doubt anything, but I am telling you, God's looking for some people to live a holy life. You say, well, preacher, I can't do that. No, you can't without him. Amen. When he gets in your heart and in your life, thank God you can live a holy life. But this life is a place to prepare for the next life. This life is a time of godly and holy life. But I want to tell you something else. Probably the biggest thing about this is this life is a life of brevity and trouble. Did you know that? This life. Job says this, talking about Job, he said that man that is born of woman is a few days and full of sorrow. Do you realize this is a troublesome life and a troublesome time that we all will live in? I mean, this is a place of brevity. As a matter of fact, what we read right here, he said, what is your life? He said, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Your life is pretty short. Amen? Amen? I'm just telling you, I don't care how many years you live, it just goes by in a blink. It just goes. I don't know how I got here where I am at nearly 70 years. I don't realize it's just gone like that. You can ask anybody else in this building, and I don't care what age they are, they'll tell you the same thing. It has gone by in a flash. Your life, and I don't care. You say, well, preacher, I'm just a kid or a teenager or whatever. Your life is going to be by you in a hurry. And can I tell you this? There's no way you can tell me how long your life will last. There's not a one of you in this room that know the answer to that question. How many days am I going to be here? I don't know. But the Bible says over in the book of Psalms, the psalmist says, teach us, O Lord, to number our days. You give us some wisdom, God, toward numbering. And the idea of numbering those days, it means that we're to use them and look at them with some wisdom and some respect toward the things that God has for us while we're here. And He wants us to be saved. Amen. So God wants everybody in this building to be saved. But I'm just telling you, hey, what is your life? You know, in history, Napoleon was a great commander, a great general, and a great war maker. And he conquered everything that he wanted to till he came down to his last battle. And that last battle did him in. While he was making preparations for that, he had one of his trusted aides and friends there with him, and he began to go over the plans, and he said, here are my plans. And he began to go through what he was going to do and when he was going to do it and how he was going to do it, every little process of that doings. And he looked at his friend, and he said, what do you think? And his friend made this statement. He said, well, let me tell you, Mr. Napoleon. He said, man proposes, but God disposes. In other words, you can plan all you want to, but buddy, when God puts His plan in motion, our plans are as nothing. Do you realize that? I don't care what you thought about it and how you planned about it, how you plotted it. Can I tell you, God's got the final say in everything that comes our way. So let me just ask you a few things this morning. I mean, if you will, think about this. What is the plan for your life? Well, as I said, none of us know how long we're going to be here. You know, the old saying is, if I knew I was going to live this long, I'd took better care of myself. I believe a lot of us would say that, wouldn't we? Man, I don't know how I got so broke down. I don't know how my knees got worn out. I don't know how my shoulders got bad. I don't know how my back wound up feeling the way that. Hey, if we had known those things, we would have made better preparation. Well, can I tell you, the same thing is true. The same thing is true in a spiritual sense. And I want you to look at this while thinking about that. Realize that in the book of Luke, in chapter number 12, if you want to flip over there with me, Jesus is telling a story. And Jesus tells a story about a man that had it. It seemed like he had everything. I mean, it seemed like as you and I would say, is that, man, he had it all going his way. Verse number 16, it said, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, this old boy begins to make a plan for his life. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He said, boy, I've got so much of the blessings of this life. I've got so much stuff. I've got so much produce. I've made such a crop. I've got such a big amount. Oh, look what I have done. And he said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Verse number 18. This will I do. I will pull down my barns and I'll build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and goods. And I will say to my soul, here's a life plan. Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, that's where we're at today. There's a lot of folks that feel like, boy, I've got it made, preacher. Got money in the bank. Got a 401k from my work. I've got a house paid for. I've got everything. Let's just kick back, take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. I mean, that's the way and the society that we live in today. And as a matter of fact, that's what folks are striving for. Oh, I want to get to this point. I want to push. I want to push. I want to push. I want to get to this point. But can I tell you, sometimes you don't get to that point, do you? Listen to what it says in verse number 20. But God said unto him. Oh, guess what? His plan left out somebody and something. It left out God. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night. But wait a minute, God, I've got it all planned out. Next week, he said, nope. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Then what's going to happen to all your stuff? Oh, can I tell you, friend, boy, he didn't plan on that, did he? He didn't think about that. He didn't have that as part of his life's plan. Listen, and it says, Jesus says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see what God said to him? The planning that he did was in foolishness. It was a foolish plan. Can you see that life here for this man seems to be, in the beginning of this story, there seems to be a great eruption of the blessings of God. Oh, can I tell you, boy, everything's going good. Everything's great. Everything's busting out. I got more. I got plenty. I got more than I know to do with. I'm just going to stack it up. I'm going to stack it back. And I'm going to have it for a long time. That's this man's life plan. That's what he thought about life. Oh, boy, I'm in a good situation. There's probably some of y'all sitting here this morning thinking the same thing. Preacher, I'm good. Boy, I'm in a good situation. Been to school or going to school and got a good situation there. I got a good family and we're doing well financially. And boy, we've got a nice house and we've got all this and that and the other. And boy, it's all going our way. I got plans. Can I tell you, there's a lot of folks had plans that did not make it till this morning. There's folks last night that had plans, but you know, they didn't make it through the night. Can I tell you, and a lot of y'all know this, there was just a few years ago, me and Sister Judy had plans. You know, we'd bought a house down in Atlanta. We'd planned on going down there and kind of retiring when her time at retirement came, and we'd finish up our life down there, and we'd be around our kids and our grandkids and all of those. And we kind of had a plan going into that. But can I tell you, God stepped in and kind of change plans. And I'm just telling you, and Lynn and Donnie had a plan. Brother Donnie had, you know, planned on working X number time and come to a place where he could retire and they could do this and do that. And you know what? Those plans get gone. I remember talking with Sister Betty Thomas, and her Brother Charles had just come to a place where he wanted to retire. And he got into that retirement. You know what he wanted to do? He wanted to go fishing with some of his time. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying anything negative about that. But then all of you know what happened, or most of you probably do, know what happened with a tragic accident, and it changed that plan. What I'm saying is me and you can have plans. And many times we do make those plans, even in our minds, or even sometimes you don't say them out loud. You've got a plan. But can I tell you, sometimes God steps in and he changes that plan. Amen? And he can do that whether you're saved or whether you're lost. It's tragic when it comes to a lost person's place. I mean, we know somebody like Judy and Charles and Brother Donnie, all saved and in heaven. But didn't that change our plans? Well, sure. But there's other folks out there that have never known the Lord. And they had big plans. Oh, we're going to vacation. We're going to sail the world. We're going to go on a cruise. And we're going to do all that. And guess what? Those plans get failed. And you know why? Because, hey, look, it says, but God said to this man, God has his plan. And sometimes we don't understand the plan of God. I mean, first of all, for this fella, life just broke out into an eruption. I mean, he had everything. But I want you to know, something happened. And his life here breaks down in corruption. Corruption because he left God out of his plan. He left God on the outside of that plan. And then, guess what? All of a sudden, life has an interruption. Thou foe, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Boy, isn't that sort of a sober response and a sober statement that God makes to him? But Jesus, so is he. He said, that's like anybody else that lays up treasure for themselves and is not rich toward God. But let's look at somebody else before we get gone this morning. Let's flip over just a few more books in your Bible. And look over in the book of Galatians with me, if you will. And go to Galatians chapter number 2. There's a fellow by the name of Paul, and I want to tell you, Paul had some aspirations as a young man and as a political person and as a religious man. Paul had some aspirations, and buddy, he wanted to climb as high as he could climb. As a matter of fact, he talks about his life, and he said, I want to tell you what I was and who I was. And he begins to give that description of himself about, oh, listen, y'all don't know who I was. He said, I was a Pharisee. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrew. He said, but I want to tell you something. God interrupted my plans one day. And in the interruption of his plans, the Lord met him out on the road to Damascus and brought him down to his knees. And God, from that point on, changed Paul's plan. Paul's plan was to go and put people in jail. Paul's plan was to go and be a tool for the Pharisees and the religious crowd and quieten down all his Christianity. That was Paul's plan. But can I tell you, Acts chapter number 9, the plan gets changed. Amen. The Lord comes in. And old Paul's down there and he said, who art thou, Lord? And all of a sudden he heard a voice say, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And then you know what he said? He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And the Lord said, I got your attention now, buddy. Your life is going to change. Amen. And Paul's life changed from that moment on. What is your life? Well, Paul could have said, well, it used to be Phariseeism. It used to be I was on my way up the ladder of religiosity. I was headed for some high stuff. But now things have changed. Listen to what he says in Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 20. Paul says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He said, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What is your life? We could ask Paul the before and the after. And before it was all religion and politics and all that stuff wound up. But he says now, my life after meeting Jesus, my life is Jesus. My life is for Christ. My life is something, he said, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. Boy, Paul knew what he's living for now. Amen. I know some time ago, the Cathedral Quartet used to sing this song that's called, I Just Started Living. Amen. When Jesus came in, oh, let me tell you, there's a brand new life given to every one of us. As I said earlier, Paul wrote and said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All the old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Everything in Paul's life was new. He said, I want to tell y'all, forget what I had. As a matter of fact, you can read that over in Philippians where he talks about what he used to be and who he was and where he was headed and all that. He said, but now I want you to know, he said, I just want to be found in him. Amen. I want to be found doing his will, doing his work, and following his work. He said, I just want to be with him. Amen. Paul says this, he says in Philippians, look over there with me if you will, in Philippians chapter number 1, Paul begins to give us another little insight into his own life. He says, verse number 19, he's talking to this church. He says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer, supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." Listen to this. "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He said, "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not." He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to part and be with Christ, which is far better. But he said, "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." He said, "Boy, my life right now, if I had my druthers, I'd rather go be with the Lord." He said, "But according to what God's wanting to do in my life, right now my life is to be spent here for Him. I want to serve Him. I want to follow Him." Paul said, "I want to preach for Him." He told Timothy over in the book of, I believe it's 2 Timothy, he said, "Be not ashamed of the Lord nor of me, His servant." He said, don't be ashamed. He said, matter of fact, you ought to be a partaker of all the sufferings and the shame and all the stuff that'll come to you in your life. Because you know what? Your life down here really doesn't matter about what you have and who you are and all that kind of stuff that we think about so many times. "Well, don't you know what my name is?" Well, yeah, I mean, I run into people and they say, "Well, you know, we're kin to the Rockefellers, or we're kin to the Gateses, or the you know, the other rich people of the world that's got all kinds." And bless their hearts, I mean, that's great. But can I tell you, I'm kin to one of the richest that's ever been. My name's written down in heaven. Amen. And better, you know what my Bible tells me? My Bible says that I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Whatever He's got, I got. And as a matter of fact, if you're saved, you've got as much as I do. We're all joint heirs. But I want to tell you something. That don't mean a thing, does it? The best thing is this, that we have eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And Jesus said this. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and what? The life." You remember He told Martha. Martha was all upset about her brother Lazarus being dead. And Jesus said, "He's going to live again." And she said, "Well, I know He'll live again in the resurrection." And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection. Though a man be dead, yet shall he live again." Can I tell you, the only real life that there is in this world and in the one to come is all through Him. Amen. I want you to understand this. I'm going to quit here in just a minute. But I want you to understand this. The fact of life or death. You're going to exist somewhere. You're going to exist somewhere. Heaven or hell. But can I tell you, in hell, it will not be life. It'll simply be existence in torment forever and ever and ever. But only life comes by being in the presence of the One who is life. Amen? I mean, Jesus is the light of the world, but Jesus is the life of those that come to Him. Do you have that life on the inside of you this morning? Do you have that life? Paul said, "Man, whatever life I got down here," he said, "I'm just giving it to Him. I'm just going to let Him use me." You remember what he said over in Ephesians chapter number 20? And he's talking to the elders at Ephesus. And they're telling him, "Oh, Paul, here's what's going to happen to you on the road ahead of you. Boy, it's going to be bad." And he said, "None of these things move me." Listen to what he said. "Neither count I what? My life dear unto myself. But," he said, "all I want to do is finish my course, go home, and be with my Lord." Amen? What about you this morning? What is your life? Is it Is it all, oh, preacher, we've had a party and we went out and we got drunk and I got all my buddies and all my buddies. We may be going to hell. We're going to have a party. Can I tell you, I can squash that idea right now. There are no parties. There is no fun. There is no laughter. There is no joy in hell being separated from life, which is in God only. Amen? You'll be there, but you'll be there tormented. As a matter of fact, you remember what the rich man said in hell? He said, go get Lazarus to warn my five brothers not to come to this terrible place. I don't want them here. It ain't going to be a party. It's going to be torment. It's going to be pain. It's going to be suffering. Tell them. Send somebody to tell them. And what did Abraham say? He said they won't believe the Moses and the law that Moses gave. Neither would they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Can I tell you? One did rise from the dead, and his name's Jesus. And he's here to persuade you to choose life this morning. I was preaching the other day over in the preacher's fellowship, and I told him, Jesus gave me a life sentence. He sentenced me to life when he saved me. He said, I saved you, and you're alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Ain't that good? If you'd like a life sentence from him this morning, would you come? Brother Ronnie, let's get some song together if you would. While we get ready to sing, maybe you're here and the Lord spoke to your heart. Hey, he can give you a life sentence, but it'll be a life sentence you won't. It'll be a life sentence that will bless you. It'll be a life sentence like Paul got. Oh, Paul got a life sentence. When Jesus arrested him out there on the highway to Damascus, he gave him a life sentence, but his life was changed. His life was different. His life was joyous. Amen? Oh, can I tell you, that's the way that it ought to be this morning. Let's stand, if you would. Amen? Let's stand. What are we going to sing, Brother Ronnie? 117. 117.